بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله في رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، ومن ولا إلى يوم الدين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، I have a very short amount of time because somebody is supposed to lecture at 7 and I don't cut into anyone's time, as I would not like them to cut into my time. So I'm going to be very short, which my intention was to be very short and sweet, inshallah ta'ala, as a continuation of what I said today at Jum'ah, inshallah. I hope you got the message of what I was trying to get across about the fact that we need to do some action. And inshallah ta'ala, we will be finishing up with that tomorrow as well. But now I want to give you a little bit of a backup of the mind frame that we need to have when we begin to do this action. Because if you agree with me that we need to do something, which if you don't agree with me with those ayats of Surah As-Saff, then I suggest, inshallah, you go back and read them over and over again. Because it's overwhelmingly clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to make effort for Him. But in order to do that, we also have to have the right thought process when we're going forward to begin to work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I also want to answer the second half of the dua that I was speaking to you about. Because today I answered, Allahumma ansur Islam wa Muslimin, but I did not answer, wa'izza. Oh Allah, give dignity. Allahumma ansur wa'izza Islam wa Muslimin. Give dignity to Islam and the Muslims. So I'm going to answer all of that, inshallah ta'ala, in the next few moments. And I begin by asking us, all of us, myself included, to ask ourselves a question. We need to ask ourselves, who are we trying to please with our life? The way you live right now, the things that you do, the habits that you have, the tendencies that you have, the way you think, the way you act, the way you live your life, who are you trying to please in your life? Because easily we can say, oh, I'm trying to please Allah. But I want us to really think about that. Who are we trying to please in our life? Whose approval are we trying to get by the things that we do in our life? Who it is that we look up to? Who it is that we're trying to impress? A lot of these things fit into the answer of how we get izzah. And this is something I want to tell you very clearly. That izzah for the Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already given it to you. He's already given it to you. And only you and me and us can decide to let it go away. That's it. Because the izzah of the human being, and definitely the izzah of a Muslim in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Islam. This is the dignity of the Muslim, is Islam. This is your dignity and your only dignity before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you're trying to gain dignity from anyone else, this is the problem. And this is a majority of the problem of why we face the condition that Islam and Muslims are in today. Because of whom it is we're trying to please. Whom it is we're trying to impress. And I'm going to tell you why. Because our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it clearly that this is our problem. 1400 years ago he told us that this was the problem that we are facing right now and 2010 throughout the world. And we don't have izzah right now. You're right. Because we have given it up. The izzah of a Muslim is his Islam, like I told you. This is our dignity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to us. And He's the only one who can give you izzah. You can't get dignity from anywhere else. When we try to get our dignity from any other source than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we go astray. Because Allah Azza wa Jal says in His Quran that He gives dignity to whomever He wishes. And He gives humiliation to whomsoever He wishes. So dignity, izzah, and humiliation is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says this in His book. But the criteria for that is your thought process. How you think, whom you're trying to impress, who it is that you're trying to look up to, and who it is you're trying to dignify in your actions. And let me tell you, this is our problem. Our Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us the problem with the solution back to back. And this is my problem, and your problem, and all of our problem. And if we can fix this one thing, we begin to make a major step in the direction of تؤمنون بالله ورسوله وتجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم. We make a major step in this direction. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm going to forgo a lot of Arabic for time's sake. He said what is to means in English. That whosoever seeks to be pleasing to people, while it is at the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah will be displeased with them. Again, let me repeat. Whosoever seeks to be pleasing to human beings at the displeasure of Allah, that means that he or she does things in their life in order for people to like them, in order for people to accept them, in order for people to respect them. They'll do things that they know Allah does not like. And we're all guilty of this, including me. We're guilty of playing the puppeteer in front of the people. Or they won't do things that they know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded them to do in front of the people so that the people will like them. This is what we do. This is one of our biggest guilts. Is that we do things in front of people so they'll like us. We shave off pieces of our deen in order for people to accept us. We don't want to look too extreme. We don't want to look too backwards. We don't want to look too crazy. You don't want to stick out. I don't want to stick out, man. This is what I've heard. I don't want to be sticking out so that I can become a target and people can look at me and say I'm crazy. They'll say this is not the way to do da'wah, brother. To look crazy, you're extreme, man. Running around with that big beard and a dress on all day long, and I see you praying all in the airport and in the malls and doing all this crazy stuff, man. This is extreme. This is an extreme understanding. This is 2010, man. That'll get you locked up. You might. But the point is, who am I trying to please? The people? What can the people give me? What can they give me? What can you do for me? Nothing. Except maybe make dua for me. Because what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to happen to me is going to happen to me without you or with you. On the day of judgment, I can't come running to you and be like, yeah, you remember when I did all those things for you? Why don't you go tell Allah that I did them for you? That person is going to be like, man, you are out of your mind. Even shaitan on that day. Even as shaitan on that day, when people will start blaming him and saying, shaitan made me do it, man. The devil made me do it. Shaitan will say, buddy. No, sir. All I did was call you. All I did was in your ear. You did it on your own. Therefore, today, I'm free of everything that you do. So, our Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that whomsoever seeks to be pleasing to men and mankind at the displeasure of Allah, not only will Allah become displeased with you, He will make the people become displeased with you. Allah will make sure that not only He's angry with you, but the people won't even like you. He won't give you dignity, and He will not allow the people to dignify you. Allah has made a promise that He will not allow you to get dignity by seeking it from His creation. Because He's the owner of dignity. And if you don't seek it from Him, you can't get it. This is why we are in this condition. we began to get in this degraded state. And our fall began when we started to become trying to be pleasing to people. Look at your history. Look at our history. This is when it happened. When we lost sight of the real point of everything that we do is for Allah alone, regardless of what the people think. This is why we're in this situation. Nobody will respect you like this. I don't care how much of your deen you shave off. And sometimes literally shave off, or take off, or don't do, or do. You decide to go to work, or just, I need this job and I don't want people to think I'm crazy. You know, so I take off the hijab. It's not that serious. Allah knows in my heart. I've even had some sisters tell me I wear my hijab in my heart. Subhanallah. What if you see that on an x-ray? I had some brothers, you know, I shave my beard because, you know, you don't want to, can't be running around with a beard these days, man. You look crazy, man. Nobody's going to hire you. When it comes time for the Christmas party at work, yeah, I'm going to go. I didn't drink, you know, but I go. I want to, you know, I want to seem normal. It actually, you fool yourself into thinking that you're going to help them. They'll see that, you know, Muslims are like everybody else. I don't want to be like them, everybody else. Don't put me in that bucket. Say you're like everybody else. Because no matter what you do, they'll never respect you. They may say, that person's okay. Still a Muslim. Still a Muslim. Still an Arab. Still one of those crazy people. How do I know this? You're saying, Yusha, yeah, you being extreme in your ideologies, man. This is a promise of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that they will never be pleased with you until you become like them. They will never be pleased with you till you become one of them. Until you leave your deen completely and become one of them. Or you shave off so much of your deen that Allah does not even recognize you anymore as a Muslim. Then they might like you. You can call yourself a Muslim all you want. You can call yourself a Muslim all I want. Doesn't mean that you can be one. A non-Muslim can run around and call himself a Muslim. If they don't do the actions of a Muslim, it's a whole different ball of wax. I could run around calling myself a chicken all day long. I don't care how much I believe it. I guarantee you I won't get none of you to believe it. This is the game that we play with Allah. Saying that we're Muslim. And we don't do the actions of a Muslim. A Muslim, the word Muslim is a verb. It means to do Islam. So you'll never get the dignity this way, brothers and sisters. And you will end up in this condition that we're in now where no one respects Islam. No one respects Muslims. Because we can't even respect ourselves. We don't even respect ourselves. The dignity of the Muslim is وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَنْ دَعِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَامِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ الْإِنَّانِ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. This is the dignity of a Muslim, that he is a caller to Allah as he is commanded, and he's a doer of good actions, and he says to the people plainly and clearly without a doubt, yes, I'm Muslim. All of us know that point where we've been asked, are you Muslim, or what religion are you? And you feel that little tingling in your heart. You don't want to just come, yeah, I'm a Muslim. You're like, oh man, why do you have to ask me that, man? We were getting along just fine. But Allah says, if they ask you that, وَقَالَ إِنَّانِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Surely I'm a Muslim. How about you? You're not a Muslim? Oh man, I feel sorry for you. Muslims are the best people on the planet, you know? We could be. We have the potential to be. If we gain our understanding back and we realize who we are, that being a Muslim is your dignity. Being a Muslim makes you better than anything that Allah created. It makes you better than anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. Even the angels. When you don't live Islam, when you are not acting as a Muslim, when you are not a Muslim, you go from being the best of Allah's creation very quickly. There's no sliding scale. You go from the best of Allah's creation to the worst of Allah's creation. Even worse than cows, than cattle, Allah says. Even worse than that, man. Might as well put you out to pasture somewhere. This is what, I'm not just giving you some foolishness. I'm telling you what Allah and His Messenger have said about this issue. And it's the reason why we're in the predicament that we're in now, dear brothers and sisters. But there is hope. Plenty of hope. They say that when you lose hope, you lose everything. When you give up hope, you've lost everything. So there's always hope. When you have hope, you have everything, man. When you have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have everything, man. You have everything that you could ever possibly need. I don't care who likes me. I don't care who respects me. If I have favor with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, man, forget you. Seriously. I don't need you to give me my dignity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to me. Because on the flip side of this, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but whosoever seeks to be pleasing to Allah, even if it's at the displeasure of the people, that means I do what Allah likes, I don't care who likes it. I don't care if my boss doesn't like it. I don't care if my neighbors don't like it. I don't care if my family doesn't like it. I don't care if my wife doesn't like it. I don't care if my parents don't like it. I don't care who doesn't like it. I do what Allah likes and nothing else. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about this person, that when they seek the pleasure of Allah, even if it's at the displeasure of people, that not only would Allah become pleased with them, He would make the people pleased with them. He would make and force the people to be pleased with them. And this is the promise of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke nothing but the truth. So, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that if you seek to be pleasing to Allah, that means I don't care who doesn't like the fact that it's time for me to make salah. I don't care what you got going on. I don't care if it's time for whatever it is else that's going on. It's time for me to pray. I'm praying. Dropping everything and I'm making salah. I'm not waiting till the end of the day and I go home and make Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. Jama'ah. I don't know where fiqh book you read that. But this is a fool's way of making salah, man. Allah has said in the Quran that He has prescribed salah at fixed times. Not with the exception, unless you're working. Unless you're going to school. I don't know if that tafsir or that explanation is out there. But inshallah, I don't know everything. I don't care what my boss thinks. I don't care if I go to this job interview wearing this hijab, yeah, maybe they don't hire me. But if they don't hire me because I'm wearing a hijab, I don't need that job anyway. That's a job I don't need anyway. Because if they don't want me to wear a hijab, they certainly not going to let me pray. They certainly not going to let me go to Jummah. They certainly not going to let me do anything that resembles the action of a Muslim. So why would I even waste my time? That to me would, I would wear it everywhere, every job interview I went, just to see if this is a job I want to take or not. If you hire me with this, then maybe we might be able to work with something. Or you don't want to hire me because I have a lihya. Or I'm telling you that on Fridays, I have to go to Jummah. They're like, oh, wait a minute, Friday is Jummah. Come on, man, this is the middle of the day. You can't just leave work. Be like, look here, man. I'll work morning time, I'll work night time, I'll work overtime, I'll work weekend time, I'll work Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, I'll work any other time, but Friday at noon is Allah's time. See ya. I'm out of here. No matter what you say. When we begin to think like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will begin to change your life. And He will begin to change our condition. And I'm not telling you this just from reading in some books. I'm telling you this because I have put it to the test over and over and over again. I wouldn't be here right now doing what I'm doing if I didn't put it to the test. I've done it, and I've seen over and over again how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never abandons His slave when His slave turns to Him. Never, ever, without a doubt. There was one point, just to give you a little personal experience. I don't like to put my personal stories in, but just to let you know, it works. And I've tried it many times. I had a job when I first moved to Florida. I was a new Muslim. Had left South Carolina and was trying to gain knowledge of my deen. And the only job I could take was a crazy construction job in Florida in the summertime. 90 degrees outside, man. 95 degrees with the humidity at like 87%. Outside dying, man. I'm not made for this type of stuff. And on Friday, but I was doing it because this was the only job I can find, and I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of me. I went on Friday and told my boss, look, I gotta go to Juma. I gotta go. I'm gonna take a long lunch today, but I'll stay late. He was like, no, man, there's no leaving. You don't leave this work site. I'm like, look, this is my religious obligation. I have to go to the Juma on Friday. He was like, look, if you leave the job, then you're fired. I said, well, I'll see you in 2 weeks to get my check, because I'm out. And I left. I just left. And I said to myself, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is sufficient for me, man. I don't need, no. I'm not going to violate my deen because I think I need something from the dunya. So I left, went to Juma, not knowing how I'm going to get another job. Not knowing how I'm going to take care of myself. I went to Juma. And I was leaving Juma. And I made the dua during one of the ones that Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is never unheard from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I made one of those. So, Ya Allah, my welfare is in your hands. I walked outside of Juma. And there was a brother who had just come from Philistine. A sheikh from Philistine. One of the most knowledgeable brothers I've ever met in my entire existence. And he came from Philistine and he owned a pizza shop in Al-Quds, in Jerusalem. And he came here to open up a pizza shop and establish his family here because of all the fitna in Jerusalem at the time. And he came up to me, asked what he said, Brother Yusha, do you have a job right now? I said, actually, no, I just quit today. He said, well, I need somebody to work for me. And he hired me on the spot and gave me double what I was making at the construction job. And this is just one instance of about 1,000 that I could give you of how when you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He never, ever lets you down. Because if He let me down, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing right now. I abandoned 3 to 4 martial arts schools I had running full time in Florida. Doing well off, had more of the dunya than I knew what to do with. And left it, knowing that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had for me to do. This was for me to do. I knew this was my calling. I needed to tell these people about Islam, that I'm in this country that I'm from. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never had me to worry about anything, ever. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. When we begin to think like this, that we want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at us and begin to love us again. He'll begin to love us again. And when He begins to love us again, our Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the Muslim does good actions so much until Allah loves him. And then when Allah loves him, He will tell the angels nearest to Him, I love so and so, so you love them. And those angels will communicate that down to all of creation until the entire creation begins to love this person. This was what our Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had. This is what the Sahaba had, and this is why the whole world was given to them. Because the creation loved them. Because even the non-Muslims, whose countries they conquered, loved them so much that when they decided to leave and try to hand the governorship back over to the people would beg them to stay and adopt the deen of their conquerors en masse until the entire world was willingly under La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Because these Muslims put their priorities in place. Allah came first, everything else came second. My job came second, the dunya comes second, the family comes second, your children come second. Your wife, your husband comes second. And this is what I tell my family sometimes all the time. When you know we tell somebody, oh, I love you more than anyone else in the world. Sometimes our husband or wife, you know we tell each other that. Come on, don't play with me, man. You know, oh yeah, honey, I love you more than anything in the world. Your wife should turn around and tell you, then you got a mistake. You have me mistaken. You should love Allah and His Messenger more than anything in this world. Then your mother, then your father, and then me. This is the way we have to put our priorities in check. That we know what we're dealing with. Because when we put our priorities in disarray, we have this condition that we look. I'll tell you how we look as an ummah from a whole. If you were to look up from above and see us all at one time, how many of you have ever went and stuck a stick in an ant hill? How many? Come on now. You're playing on me. How many of you tortured ants? You go and you stick a little stick in an ant hill, what happens? They all start scrambling, trying to figure out what's going on. And they're all running in 30,000 different directions, trying to figure out what's going on. In disarray, man. This is us. This is how we look. We look like somebody is taking and stuck in a stick in the anthill, and we have no idea what's going on. We know there's a problem. We know we're all trying to fix it in a different way, and we're getting nothing done. And I'll tell you why. Because our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whosoever vision, their focus, their attention is on this dunya. That means when they wake up in the morning, the first thing they're thinking about is what I got to do today in this dunya. How I'm going to make some money? How I'm going to do this? How I'm going to do that? This is all they think about. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah will make that person's affairs in disorder. He will make your affairs like this. And we all know those people. They seem like they have so much to do, but they get nothing done. And they look crazy doing it. And run themselves crazy. I've seen brothers like that. They're like, where you going, akhi? I got to go to this class, and I got to be at that class, and I got to go to work, and then I got to go to another job. And I akhi, slow down, man. Did you make salah yet? Salah. Oh, subhanAllah. I missed like three already. And this is their condition. And also, by chasing this dunya, we don't know that we're losing it. Because our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, not only will his affairs be in disarray, Allah will place poverty between his two eyes. Allah will place poverty between his two eyes. And he will get nothing from this dunya except that which Allah has already ordained for him. What was written for you before Allah even created you. That's all you'll get. If Allah means for you to get $200 a week, I don't care if you get a job that's giving you $1,000 a week. At the end of the day, you're going to end up with $200. This is the qadr of Allah. If you think I'm playing games, test it. Try it out. See. Look at people's lives. Look at how easily money comes and goes. Just a clear example for you how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals equitably with His issue of what He's already ordained. We have an economic crisis going on in this country. Right? They call it the Great Recession. They're spending months and hours and billions. They're spending millions of dollars to figure out why they lost millions of dollars. And they still haven't come to the conclusion. They still don't know why they lost all that money, man. When as soon as it happened, I already knew. You know what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that He will destroy riba. He will destroy riba, usury. And not too long ago, about a month ago, there was an economist on CNN that says what happened in this past 2 years is that we have lost almost all of the capital interest that we have gained since the Depression. Yes, you have, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that He will destroy this usury. So you can go ahead and build the system back the way you had it, and the same thing is going to happen. This is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't care how much wealth you think you have, if Allah has already written for it to be this much, that's going to be it. But also, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever's focus and their mind is on the akhirah, on the hereafter, that means that the akhirah is first. And the way you can look at this, and I'll explain in a minute, I'll tell you the way you can look at this. He says, whoever looks at the akhirah first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his affairs in order. In order. That person, no matter how much they have to do, they will be at peace in their life and their affairs will be in order. Have you ever wondered? Have you ever looked at a brother? And I'm going to give you a perfect example. Right here in Minnesota. Look at a brother like Sheikh Hatim. How much does this brother do, man? How much does this brother do? But every time I've met him, he's at calm, at ease, and peace. He never seems like he's in a rush. Never seems like he's in a hurry. How many of you ever met him and seen him later, where he'd be frustrated and be like, man, I gotta go. He comes here all the time, helps. He's a medical doctor. He lives, subhanAllah, almost an hour and a half away from here. I couldn't even go to his house for lunch because he lives so far away from here. He had to come here to see me. I know another brother like this, Imam Safi Khan. He was the imam of a community. What I mean by the imam was that he was the imam. He solved every single problem that appeared in the community. He worked from Fajr till late into the night. And he never turned anyone down. And he had time for all of these things, to be the imam, to be the leader of the school, to deal with Muslims, all the different problems that were going on, to learn his studies, to go travel and speak here and do this and do that, to start an Islamic school, to start an Islamic bank. We look at the scholars of our past, who were not only scholars of deen, but scholars of dunya. They accomplished so many things with so little information that they had, so little access to information. How? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made their affairs in order. Everything they did was done with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing, with the barakah of Allah. And anything with Allah's barakah is better than everything without it. And also, he said that his affairs will be in order, and Allah will cause the dunya to come after him. Will cause the dunya to come to him. Will cause the dunya to come to you. So when you're chasing the dunya, Ali radiallahu anhu, and I'll be done in about 10 minutes. Ali radiallahu anhu said something. He said that when you take one step towards the dunya, towards this world, it takes two steps to get away from you. And death takes two steps to catch up to you. So do the math. Which one is going to catch who first? You taking one step, dunya's taking two to get away from you. Never catch it. And death is taking two behind you. It's going to catch you before you even get close to the dunya. The dunya is getting farther, your death is getting closer. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he drew two lines in the sand, one farther than the other. He said the farther line away from him, where he said, this is man's desire. This is his hopes and his dreams and his wishes. But the shorter line is his death. And he will surely run into that line before he ever runs into the other one. This is just the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want this dunya? Do you want it? Yeah, I want it. We all want to not have to worry about things. Then run away from it. I know that sounds so ludicrous. Run away from it. And I don't mean quit your job don't work and think that Allah is going to support you while you go and do khuruj every other weekend and eat dal and all this other stuff and think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just going to just magically send a check in the mail. It doesn't work like that. We still have to work. Allah has commanded the man to work and be the caretaker of his home. Don't think I'm saying that. But what I mean by run away from it is don't care about it. Don't care about this dunya. Put it in the back burner. And what I mean by put in the back burner and have the akhirah as your focus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رُسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that indeed in the Messenger of Allah for you is a beautiful example. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكْرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. For whoever's mind, whoever's vision, their hope is in Allah and the last day. And they remember Allah much. So a Muslim should always, their focus, their vision, their hope should be on the Day of Judgment. And I'm going to talk about that tomorrow, vision. How we need to have a vision going forward in this movement of Islam, this new revitalization of Islamic thought in the Muslims of America and the rest of the world. We'll talk about that tomorrow inshaAllah ta'ala. But what you need to be looking at when you wake up in the morning is Akhirah. Because when we think of Akhirah, most of the time if people tell you Day of Judgment or Yawm al-Akhirah, we think of something long way off. Oh, subhanAllah, man, that's Day of Judgment, man. Whew. I'm not worried about that right now, man. I got to be at work in like 45 minutes. You're talking about a Day of Judgment. I got to catch the bus, akhi. Who guaranteed you your Day of Judgment doesn't start today? Who guaranteed you that your Day of Judgment is not going to start tonight? What do I mean by that? I mean that your death come to you. Who's promised you another second in this life? No one. And when death comes to you, that's the beginning of your Akhirah. That is your last day. Because that's the time when all of your deeds cease. Except for three, which we know. But that's it. There's no going back and like, yo, hold on a second, give me 10 minutes, let me go pray real quick. When the angel of death comes, he doesn't question anyone. He just takes the soul. So who's going to tell you when your Day of Judgment is not going to start? So you should always keep that in mind. What am I doing for the Day of Judgment? How many of you would raise your hand and say you're ready to go in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now? With what the deed you have, you're ready to go in front of Allah. That's it, I have enough. I didn't think so. We can never have enough. We should always be thinking, what am I taking before Allah now? Because our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that everyone should take account of themselves before the account is taken for them. They should take account of themselves before the account is taken for them. You should always keep track of your own good deeds. We keep better track of our bank accounts than we do our deeds. Wallahi azeem. We keep better track. You can tell me probably your last 10 transactions in your bank account, in your balance. I ask you what the last 10 good deeds you did. Let me think, akhi. Give me a second. You're pulling on me now. We should constantly be thinking. You're thinking more about the money that you put in a bank, which can't promise you will be there tomorrow. There's no promise you put money in a bank is going to be there tomorrow. When we don't think about the bank of the Akhirah, what am I putting there? Because you put money in this bank, they could, what if they came tomorrow and said, you know what? All the money is worth nothing anymore. We're not taking this money anymore. We're going to create a new money. Because this money is worth nothing now, so we create new money. Your money is worth nothing. There's no guarantee that you're going to have it. The bank down the street goes out of business. There's no guarantee you're going to get your money back. But when you give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your deeds, He becomes the guarantor. He becomes the surator. He becomes the trustee over those deeds. And you are guaranteed to get them back with interest. It's the only riba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies the deeds with interest manifold that you cannot even begin to understand. So, this is our mind frame and I'm finished. This is what we need to be thinking about. What are we doing? Who are we trying to please? What am I doing in my daily life? Am I trying to be pleasing to Allah or am I compromising my deen in order to make people like me? Because let me guarantee you they'll never like you. Let me guarantee you they'll never like you. But when you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba did, the world will come running to us. Allah will give us the world because we are worthy of having it. We ask now, oh ya Allah, give us a world, a khilafah. And I'm like, no, please don't do that now. If Allah was to give us the world right now, we would destroy it. In probably 6 months, we have to move to Mars. We can barely run our own masjids. You talking about giving us the world, man? No, we're not ready. We're not ready. We need to get ready. We need to prepare the way to be ready. We're asking for something we're not ready for. We need to get ready for it, inshaAllah ta'ala. We need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us ready for this task, to be His khilafah on this earth. We need to ask Him for this sincerely and check our intentions and check our deeds and check our actions and see where it is that we're going. And let me tell you, all of this stuff we're amassing in this world, all of this stuff where they're trying to collect, means nothing, man. You want to own something. My first sheikh taught me this very early as a Muslim. You want to own something? You may think you own something now. You may think you own your money. You don't own your money, you own some paper that the government says what it's worth. You think you own your car. You don't own your car. Don't pay insurance on it. Don't pay your taxes on it. You may think you own a house. Surely, don't pay your property taxes on your house and see what happens. You own nothing. You own nothing in this dunya. You can't take anything of it with you. The only things that you own are the things that you give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. That's the only thing you own. Because as soon as you give something for Allah, Allah holds it and gives it back to you. That includes everything, not just money. That includes your time. Every second that you give to Allah belongs to you. Every second that you spend chasing this dunya, you've lost it. You lost it. Every action that you do sincerely for Allah belongs to you. Every action that you do for something else, you've lost it. You've wasted it. So let us not waste any more time, dear brothers and sisters. Time is running out, man. Time is running out. And if we don't decide whether we're going to be with it or against it, then I guarantee Allah is going to make the decision for us. There is coming a time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make the decision for us. For who is against Him, for who is with Him, or who is against Him. And we don't want to be on the outside when the gate is closed on that day, inshaAllah ta'ala.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad.